Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay. Good.
Good, good, good. Wonderful. Well, good morning to you all. You're all good this morning, and I know that it's a change of season. And I do apologize for my voice, but I'll get through it this morning. It's part of the season. This morning I looked at, I thought to myself, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I must say that this subject is a very, it's a subject that it's a bit hard to preach. It's a bit challenging to preach. I thought about it, Lord, I'm just going to give it a go. And I found the Holy Spirit just prompting me, because I believe that whatever happens in life with you and the experiences as a Christian, you need to live it out. So I'm speaking from my own experience. So looking at the verse that I want to bring to your attention is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 5. And it's Jesus speaking here. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's." Let's just pray. Father, I pray that this morning that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would break every barrier this morning. Lord, whether it's cultural, whether it's ethnic barriers, Lord, and Lord, that we would hear with attention to your word. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to speak to you this morning of improving our vision. Improving our vision. As a church, I am so excited to hear the great things God is doing and what God is going to do for us as a church and as a body here in Waiuku. But along the way, we will meet people. And that is so wonderful. Just as a means of introduction, it is said that a reporter was once searching for a story about the laziness that existed throughout the South of America, when he saw a man in his field sitting in a chair and hoeing his weeds. This had to be the ultimate in laziness. So he rushed back to his car to start his story. When he looked back a second time, and what he saw changed his entire outlook. He saw the pants legs of the farmer hung down loose. The man had no legs. So what seemed at first to be a story of laziness turned into a story of great courage. Isn't it funny how we often judge others by their actions? We judge ourselves by our own intentions. I thought about that for a moment. Guilty. Bertrand Russell summed up this hypocrisy when he said, "I am firm, you are obstinate. He's pig-headed. I've reconsidered. You have changed your mind. He's gone back on his word." Another story. You're going to hear a lot of stories, but I'm going to give you the word also. A mother and a son had a son and a daughter, both of whom were married. When she was describing a son and daughter-in-law, she said, "The daughter's got such a wonderful husband. He lets her sleep late, insists on her going to the beauty parlor," and the ladies know what I'm talking about here, "will not let her cook, and he takes her out to dinner every night." She then said, "But I'm not so happy for my son. He's married a girl who's lazy, sleeps late every morning, spends time in the beauty parlor, and will not cook, and makes him take her out all the time." Wow. Somebody wrote these words. Why is it that my dirt is never as dirty as your dirt, from my perspective? My sin never seems as sinful as the sins of others either. When we start comparing and judging ourselves in the light of others, and we forget that we have been there. And so this morning I want to deal with this problem. I know it's going to touch maybe your heart, it's going to touch maybe a thin nerve in your life, how we judge others and how we deal with others. See, the theme of my message this morning is when we lay aside our critical spirits, and our vision becomes clearer of what God wants us to do and those around us. People are not the same, I've discovered. They're just different. And God's got a sense of humor. And so I want to look at some thoughts Jesus shares in helping to understand that as a church, that as we go forward, things are going to happen. People are going to rub you up the wrong way. Verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not judge or you will be judged." First thing I want to say, judging comes back to haunt you. You remember Ebenezer Scrooge? We had those girls come and visit him. But what's so wonderful, at the end he realized, well, my selfishness didn't work. And judging others comes to back to haunt you. When Jesus said, "Do not judge," he wasn't saying we should never assess or size up people, but rather that we should not have a harsh, judgmental spirit. There's a difference. There is a difference. There is a theologian by the name of John Stott. He said in these words, "Jesus does not tell us to cease to be men by suspending our critical powers which help us to distinguish us from animals, but to renounce the presumptuous ambition to be God. And that is by setting up ourselves as judges. That's what drives the overly critical attitude. A belief that I can see as God sees." God doesn't see like you. God sees beyond the flesh. God sees beyond this body, because God is spirit. Because God can see my heart. He can see my motives. You can see what I'm thinking right now. And Jesus wants to eliminate that kind of thinking. I've been there. And I want to say this morning, I'm not perfect. And all of us are not perfect. But we're getting there to be like Jesus. And to love Jesus, we must listen to Jesus. There was a famous writer, William MacDonald. He says that there are five areas we should not judge when it comes to people. Firstly, people's motives. Why do people do what they do? We can't see what is inside them. Another area is service of another believer or Christian. Because we will give an account to Christ. And that will determine whether we stand or fall. Thirdly, conscientious scruples about things that are morally neutral. Number four, outward appearances. It's what's in the heart that is more important. And this is one area a lot of people struggle with. Judging me the way I look. Why do I say I come from a country that I was judged because of the way I look? Number five, harshly, critically. And I like what he says, a habitual fault finder is a poor advertisement for the Christian faith. It doesn't give a good picture when we judge people, even as a Christian. So it will come to haunt us. I love the fables of Aesop. Because what I want to do is to make us understand the difference of being critical and being discerning. There's a big difference. It said that, according to the fable, that there was a lion who was unable, from old age and infirmities, he was unable to provide himself with food by force. And we know that the lion is aggressive, he's carnivorous. Resolved to do so by savvy or wit. It is said that he returned to his den and, lying down there, pretended to be sick, taking care that his sickness should be publicly known. The beasts around him expressed, they said, "Oh, lion is sick," and came one by one to his den, when the lion devoured them. But that's not the end of the story. After many of the beasts had thus disappeared, the fox discovered the trick, and presenting himself to the lion, stood on the outside of the cave at a respectful distance, because King Lion is there, and asked him now how he was. And this is what he said, "I'm going to roar like a lion." "I am very sick," replied the lion. "But why do you stand without? Pray, enter, walk within to talk to me." "No, thank you," said the fox. "I notice there are many prints of feet entering your cave, but I can see no trace of any returning." What was the saying? He was very discerning, the fox. Another one. You know the Lone Ranger and Tonto? Timasapi. The story tells of the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who stopped in the desert for the night. After they got their tent all set up, both men fell asleep. Some hours, Tonto wakes the Lone Ranger and says, "Kimasapi, look towards the sky." The Lone Ranger and Tonto asked him, "What do you see, Kimasapi?" Lone Ranger replies, "I see millions of stars." "What does that tell you?" asked Tonto. The Lone Ranger ponders for a minute and thinks. He says, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies, potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, it's evident the Lord is all powerful and we are small and insignificantly. Meteorologically, it seems we have a beautiful day tomorrow." "What does it tell you, Tonto?" Tonto is silent for a moment and then says, "Kimasapi, the dumber than a box of rocks. It means someone stole our tent. So, discernment or judgment, you decide. You're going to love a lot today. Because the point I want to bring across is that sometimes our judgment gives us the wrong viewpoint in life. And so how does a critical attitude come to haunt us? There's one way. Another story. A man wanted to impress his friend with his eye for art. As they went to an art gallery together, but he forgot his glasses. You see, this man was nearsighted and could hardly see his hand in front of his face. He then figured that he could wing it out with many abstract words and comments that he wanted to make. And as he approached one frame or one picture, he began criticizing with his words, "Why would anyone want to paint something so hideously ugly? I mean, it is not true of the object. Why waste time painting such a disgusting subject?" Everyone was laughing by his time, but this time, as his wife whispered in his ear, "John, it's a mirror." He didn't have his specs on, eh? So, discerning and judging. How do we discern? How do we pass judgment? We have no right to judge because God is the great judge. Chuck Swindoll, who was involved in the Watergate scandal, he gives several reasons why we shouldn't judge other people. Firstly, what I found out was that he says these words, "Because we don't know all the facts." He says one time he was preaching at a Christian camp, and on his first day a man approached him and said how much he was looking forward to hearing Chuck preach for the first time. And that evening, Chuck Swindoll noticed the man sitting near the front. But only a few minutes into the message, the man was sound asleep. You know, like some people, they sleep and... No, you guys don't do it. Swindoll thought to himself, maybe the man's tired. And after a long day's drive, he can't help himself. But the same thing happened for the next few days as Chuck preached and ministered. And obviously if you preach you get tired. And he says these words, "If this guy really wants to hear me preach, why does he keep falling asleep?" On the last night, the man's wife came up to Chuck and apologized for her husband's inattention to the message. She explained that he had recently been diagnosed as having terminal cancer, and the medication that he was taking was to help ease the pain, and that's why he fell asleep. And this man's dream was to hear Dr. Swindoll speak before he died, and now he had fulfilled his goal. I want to say we must not judge if we don't know the facts. People do things because of certain things. We don't know their background. We don't know where they come from. Secondly, he says, the second reason why we should not judge is because we're putting ourselves in the place of God. Because God will judge us with the same standard that we judge others. What did Jesus say? Love God, and then love your fellow man as you love yourself. And that brings me to my next point. judging returns with the same intensity as is delivered. Jesus says in verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's called the law of reciprocation. Typical example is when you throw a boomerang. Anybody thrown a boomerang? Oh, right. I mean, if you throw a boomerang, it comes right back. And the Bible is filled with them. What you sow, you reap. Give, and it will be given to you. What is interesting I found is that at the time that Jesus was teaching this, the rabbis, or the rabbis, understood that God had two measures that he used to judge people. The first measure was the measure of justice, and the other one was the measure of mercy. And I thought to myself, you know, sometimes we judge so quickly, but how often don't we apply mercy and justice to our lives? Which measure do you want God to use with you? My question. Justice? Mercy? And I believe we should use the same measure, justice and mercy. Let's be merciful. People mess up, let's be merciful. You know the measure that Jesus mentions here? It was common in his days. It was used in the marketplace to measure out grain. And when I think of that, I think of the grace of God. I think of his love. And that is how we measure, we sum up with the grace of God. Something I found very interesting was that, speaking about this word measure, is that in the Mishnah, which is the oldest authoritative biblical collection of Jewish oral laws, uses these two words, the same word of measuring. And I just want to read to you what it says. It says, with what measure a man meets, it shall be measured to him again. That's according to Sotah 1 verse 7. And then Amoth 1 verse 6, it says, when you judge any man, incline the balance in his favor. Thought to myself that if I'm going to take a hard line with others, I need to realize God is going to take a hard line with me. The same measurement. I want to say this morning that God will treat us the way we treat others. And that doesn't mean that we should not have strong convictions and stand for what is right. Yes, we need to stand for what is right. But we are not in the place of judgment. I made this bold in my notes here. The force of your conviction is only as great as the depth of your compassion. Let me say that again. The force of your conviction is only as great as the depth of your compassion. Because that is how God is. You see, a critical spirit can destroy the grace of God that is work within us. God is gracious. When I mess up, God is still gracious. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. Yes, we need to judge what is right and what is wrong. But who are we to judge? Number three, judging blinds us to our own condition. Verse 3 and verse 4 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? I think Jesus is being very humorous here. I could imagine having a plank in your eye, somebody having a piece of sawdust. But amidst all the humor that Jesus is using, and as his listeners was, as the Pharisees and as those who were surrounded him thought he maybe was using humor, but he was being serious. They were most probably being shocked at the laughter as they heard him say this, but how can you say such a thing? A plank in my eye, what does it mean? You see, being critical of others has a blinding effect on us regarding ourselves. Oops. You know, when Jesus, when they brought this woman before Jesus, who was caught in adultery, what did Jesus say? If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. John 8 verse 7. You know what is amazing? They left the stones and they left. For something pricked their hearts. I want to ask you this morning, what pricks your heart when the truth is spoken to you today? You know, sometimes in our zeal to be right, we throw rocks at people with our words. We need to guard this two little lips of ours. We need to guard what we say. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. I believe Jesus is saying, open your eyes, stop evaluating everybody else, stop judging and take a look at yourself. And that brings me to my final point. Judging begins with me. Verse 5 says, you hypocrite, take out the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Peter Marshall wrote this prayer. He says, dear Lord, when I'm strong, when I'm wrong, make me easy to change. When I'm right, make me easy to live with. Very powerful words. I've come to learn to say sorry. Forgive me. You know, it takes a great man. You know what's a great man? When a man can cry to me. Oh, well, I won't cry. And I think we need that today. We need that today. So, my solution today, plank removal 101. How do we change? How do we take out the plank out of our eye? There's two things. Humility and repentance. That's it. You must remove the speck from your own eye before you can take something out of somebody's eye. But Jesus was saying, first, you get the things right with God. And then your vision of what God wants you to do will be clear. Will be clear. You know, I've learned, you know, I meet a lot of, I'm going to say this, I meet a lot of the people that, you know, back in South Africa, you know the history. And they come into the supermarket. And you know, you can pick up the language. And one thing God has told me, you need to forgive those people. And then I start getting conversation. I talk to them because I realize God wants me to forgive them. And not pretend that things have happened. Things have happened, yes. But I must still forgive. And you know what? The joy of just talking to them in Afrikaans. And then then I can speak. Because that is what freedom does. That is what not being judgmental does. It makes you free, man. It doesn't make you uptight. And that's one lesson I've learned in life. Say you're sorry. Set you free. Speak about going to a new level. You don't know what you're talking about. We don't get the basics right. It begins with me. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense in me, way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Everlasting way. You know, God wants us, He welcomes us back. He stands with arms open wide to say, "Come, I want to help you. I want to love you." He wants us to come clean. He wants us to make things right. We heard this morning of forgiveness. You know, it's not easy to forgive what people have done to you. But you need to forgive. And I believe the challenge is to forgive people. I need to forgive my family. And I need to take the first step. Show them, "I forgive you." So, let God search our hearts. And so, what has this message been saying to you today? Do you have a critical spirit? Are you quick to judge? Are you willing to let Jesus live within you? Because when you in a position where you do not judge, you improve your vision. You improve your vision. And as I said, I struggled with this message. But wow, God just spoke to me. Very hard. Because God loves me. And He wants to show His grace to me. So, whatever the situation, I want to say to you, if you need to make right, make right. Simple. If you need to forgive, forgive. It may mean you cry. Yeah, that's fine. God gave us emotions. Don't let pride come in your way. Because that will keep you in God's goodness. That will keep you from the blessing of the Lord. And I pray today that this message will be challenging to us as a church, will push us forward. I'm so grateful that I could speak from our heart. Can we just pray? Close our eyes. Lord, we come before you today and we realize that we need to learn, Lord. You want to teach us something today, and I pray, Lord, that every heart would be softened. I pray that this word would challenge us this week. But as we go through the busyness of life, that we learn to forgive. Not just with words, Lord, but with our lives. Lord, as we sit here, our faces differ. Our needs differ, Lord. Our emotions. But Lord, you want to do a good work in us. Your word says, "He who began a good work in us, faithful to complete to the very end." And so Lord, just bless us today and just challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.